Thank you. Well, you can go ahead and start with opening your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. But I'm still trying to recover from that nice meal. Wow, that was some meal, so I appreciate that. That was very good. Very good indeed. We're going to talk about here this afternoon is how to bring down strongholds. And I had you turn to Joshua, but you know what? I'm going to change my mind real quick. We will be in Joshua, but let's look in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter, let's see here, let's go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is look here in verse number 4. But keep your place in Joshua. We'll be there real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So today we're going to look at how can we bring down strongholds. And it's a very simple plan from God, but it's a plan if we follow it, these strongholds will come down. So let's pray, and then we'll look at what God has for us and how we can bring down strongholds in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this afternoon and for the opportunity once again to have your word open, that you speak to our hearts and move in our lives. And Heavenly Father, our prayer is that we will follow you wholeheartedly and in the direction that you would want us to go, to follow your will, so that you would get all the victory and the glory. Thank you once again, Heavenly Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ. And then, Heavenly Father, we just ask that you will be with us here today, for we ask you in your Son's name. Amen. When we went to Berlin, we went in March for our survey trip. And when we get off the airplane, of course, when you fly, you usually, when you go to Europe, you're flying through the evening. So you get there the next day and in the afternoon. So we're pretty tired. But we get off the airplane and we're walking through the airport, and you can feel the spiritual oppression in that city. You can just feel it. It's just something it's hard to explain, but you know that this is not a haven, a safe haven for Christians. This is definitely a stronghold of Satan. And so we went to the apartment, stayed there for the evening, and then Wednesday we went out in our first part, the first district. What we were planning to do, what the Lord impressed us to do, is to go to each district in Berlin. Pray over the people, pray over the district, and see if this is the position, the place that God wants us to be at. And so I started off in the old East sectors where it used to be in communism. I spent many times in the West districts, so we went into the East districts, and we started in a district called Penku. We went up there, and the people are hard. They don't look you in the eye. There's no really joy. They rarely smile, and it's like, wow, this is kind of depressing. And so we're praying over the people, we're praying over the sector, and we just like, Lord, what do you want us to do? And so we went home that evening, and of course Wednesday night, had services in the apartment with my family, and then I went to bed. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, it wasn't an audible voice, but there was a presence in the room. And the presence basically using profanity and was saying, what do you think you can do here? Why don't you just get up and get out of here? Just leave. And so I pled the blood of Christ, and I was praying the rest of the evening, the morning there, and said, and just asking God, God, show me what you want me to do. Is this the area you want me to be at? What do you want me to do? Because you can definitely tell this was an unfriendly spirit. And so the spirit left, and we went to another district in the East. Now, that was my fault. I should have went maybe to a district in the West. But we went to another district in the East, and this district had where the old Stasi headquarters were. That's the East German police. And so that's really, it's just so heavy spiritually because there's nothing there. And so we're praying and we're asking the Lord, what do you want us to do? Is this the area you want us to be? Give me something, Lord. And we went back home, and of course you saw in the video the Starbucks across our apartment there. My daughters like coffee, and so we went to the Starbucks, and I was looking on the wall. Remember, I like history. And I'm looking on the wall, and there's pictures of when the wall opened up November 9th, 1989, at the Checkpoint Charlie. And so I'm just looking at these pictures, and a German lady that was working in the Starbucks comes in, and goes, "You know what you're looking at?" Speaking English to me. And I says, "Yeah, I know what this is. This is when the wall opened up November the 9th. He says, you know that? He says, "Yeah, I was working here that night that the wall opened up. I was an air traffic controller in the U.S. Air Force, and Army helicopters were popping up all over my scope, and because there's a lot of people around the wall, they thought it could have been some kind of invasion. So they're all calling me up for advisories, and I'm asking them, it's like, what's going on? And he says, "We don't know, but there's an awful lot of people around the wall." And about 2 minutes later, he says, "They just opened up the wall, and East Berliners were coming through into West Berlin." So I was telling this lady this story, and she goes, "I have a lot of respect for Americans." She was 5 years old when the wall opened up, and she remembers that night, and she told me this. Remember, I'm looking for some kind of sign, and she told me this. She said, "Welcome home." A German lady telling me there at Checkpoint Charlie, "Welcome home." And I took that from the Lord. That is for sure what we needed to hear. And so we've been praying over the city of Berlin because it is a spiritual stronghold. There's no doubt about it that it is a stronghold for Satan. And he has his grasp on it very hard. And he's not going to go down without a fight. And we're going to plead the blood of Christ, and we're going to get in there, Lord willing, and showing the gospel light to these people. But there's a plan here about how to take down strongholds. And I want you to use this idea about, first of all, the city of Berlin as a stronghold, but I know that every one of us has strongholds in our lives. We might be having problems with our families, at our jobs, finances, emotional problems. There's a whole gamut that there are strongholds in our lives. What are those strongholds and how do we take care of them? The Lord has given us a plan here. And we're going to look here in Joshua chapter 6 and look at these plans here because we're going to talk about the walls of Jericho and how those the plan was taken care of to bring the walls of Jericho down. But you have to remember now, when I was always reading about the walls of Jericho, you know, you think of walls, yes. And you think that it was an impregnable city, yes. But doing some research on it, I was finding out that that city, that those walls were a couple different tiers. You had one tier that would go up, and I wrote it down here, about 12 to 15 feet high. And then on top of that, there would be another 6 foot thick wall that went up 20 to 26 feet high. So right at the beginning, the front part of the wall would be like almost a four-story tall building. That's a big wall. But that's not the only part of it. Because then you go back a little bit further, and there's more earthen works and another wall on top of that. And so if you look from the very bottom of the wall and you looked up towards the wall, it could be almost up to 10 stories tall. That's a wall. That's a city that is well fortified. And you got to remember, the children of Israel came across Jericho, and what was the first thing they saw was that city. And they had to take that city. Because as military men, you guys know that you just can't go around strongholds and not be a factor to you. They're going to be in your side all the time. You have to take these strongholds down. You just can't let them be. And so the city, the people of Israel had to take these strongholds. This is a vast, vast problem. And we have problems like that in our lives that are in our way that they have to come down. We just can't go around them and just turn a blind eye to them and say, okay, the problem will go away soon enough. That's not how the devil works. And it's going to be the same thing in Berlin. We just can't go there and say, okay, we're here, everyone get saved now. It doesn't work like that. That city has to be taken, and it has to be taken by God's plan, or it's not going to be taken. And so God has given us a plan here in Joshua chapter 6. So let's take a look here at a few verses. We're going to do some reading here. I know that you read these verses before. Just follow along as we go through these verses. Look here, and starting in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Then shalt thou do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let the seven priests bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Now go down to verse 11. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the river came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. The 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times, only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass, at the 7th time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, Shout, for the Lord had given you the city. Now go down to verse 20. So the people shouted with the priests, blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. So we see here there's a plan of how to take an unsolvable problem, how to take a city that is securely tightened up. And God's given us his plan. There's 4 steps to it. First thing is, we need to circle the problem. We need to circle the stronghold with prayer. That's first and foremost. Throughout God's word, you see where God's people are praying. Genesis chapter 24, Abraham's servant praying for the bride for Isaac. Exodus 14, the Israelites praying for the deliverance at the Red Sea. 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah facing the invasion of Assyria. And in Acts 12, like we had this morning, the church praying for Peter's deliverance. It always starts with prayer. And when you have a problem in our lives, when we have a stronghold in our lives, that we have no idea how to take care of it. There's just no end in sight. We need to be on our knees. We need to be on our knees and praying for the path and the direction and the guidance that God wants us to take. And that's what we have to do in Berlin. That's why we challenge all the churches. I told you this morning, pray for 100 days for Berliners. Their hardness of heart needs to be broken down. That stronghold needs to come down so the light of the gospel can really take effect and find good ground. But it has to start with prayer. And it has to start with prayer of like-minded people, because this is all our endeavors. It's just not mine. This is everybody's. And we need to pray. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We'll be going through the Bible here a little bit this afternoon here. So Luke chapter 11. I want you to see here about prayer. Luke chapter 11 and starting in verse 1. It says here in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in journey, and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he said, From within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of you, any of that is father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask of an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So we see here that the Lord is trying to tell the disciples, you need to be in a right purpose of mind when you're praying. You need to be persistently praying. You need to be praying in his will, to ask for his will to be done. It's not about us. It's about his will. It's about his course. It's about his direction. And we need to ask God for the direction for his will, an offer of a true spirit and simplicity of that. We need to follow that direction. There's another story in Acts chapter 18. If you just turn a couple pages over, Acts chapter 18, and look in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the just judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. See, we need to be praying and persevering and praying. Not just one day. That stronghold is stronger than what we think. That city is strong. Berlin's not going to be coming down just because we pray one day. It's going to take perseverance, praying day after day after day, but knowing God will answer our prayer when we're in his will, following his course, following the plan that he has. We need to be praying continually for those people. And when your stronghold, whatever it might be, you need to be praying continually. God, give us the answer. God, show us what we need to do. Be persistent. Bring it before him. Because that stronghold will not come down unless you're in prayer. You have to circle the problem with prayer. There's a saying that says you tell God and then you trust God. Well, that's what we need to do. Tell God and trust God. So the first one, we need to encircle the problem with prayer. Secondly, we need to encircle the problem with praise. Circle the problem with praise. We know that on that last time they went around the wall, and they went around 7 times, Joshua told them to shout as loud as you can. You know, when you shout praises, when you're in difficult situations, people look at you a little differently. Because they know what you're going through. They know that you have strongholds. They know that there's certain problems in your lives. And when you can go around and say, praise the Lord, praise God, even when you're at work or at school or whatever, and you're saying, you know, they know that you're going through a difficult time, but you're sitting there smiling and saying, praise God. They look back. You know why? Because Satan, evil, and praise cannot be together. They cannot operate together. They can't be together. And that's what God is saying here, that we need to circle the problem with praise. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Give God the glory. Give God the praise. Okay, when we went through, like I said, going into that city, and that German lady said, "Welcome home." Praise God. Satan wasn't happy. Satan wasn't happy at all. Because we're not running. God has called us to go there. Who am I to say, well, I'm kind of scared. You know, that city's pretty tight with a lot of Satanism and different things that are going. No. God says you tackled it with prayer and you tackle it with praise. You give Him the glory. And that problem will start coming down. Just like the walls of Jericho. We see here in John 30, you don't have to turn there, but John 3, in verse 30, John the Baptist says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." It's all about Christ. But we have a lot of us that has the same idea here in 1 Corinthians 10, 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." See, we got to watch out. Praise God for him. And that others will see that. And others will go, "Wow, I know what he's going through, and yet he can still praise God? That's wonderful." That starts up a conversation. That gives you an opportunity to spread the gospel. That gives you the time that you can say something for God. I remember when I was in the Czech Republic this last September, and the Czech people are very hard people. They're just like Berliners. They are atheists. They don't believe in God at all. I should say all of them, but the majority of them don't believe in God. And when you try to hand out information to them, well, they don't want it. Now, luckily, I mean, they're not screaming in your face. They're polite and say, no, and keep walking. But when they see you smiling, when they see you praising God, they stop. And they're going, "What do you have to smile about? What do you have to be praising God about?" And we had some that did that. That some would say, "Whoa, why are you smiling?" Because there's not a lot of smiling going on there. And we have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to give them the John in Romans. To give them the invitation to go to church there in Prague. Because in the midst of all that heaviness, that spiritual heaviness, we can smile. We can show the joy of the Lord. And that's what we need to do when you have strongholds. Show the joy of the Lord. Satan cannot stand that. It drives him crazy when you do that because he wants to see you beaten down. But when you're smiling and you're praising God, he's not getting the victory. And those walls will come down. Go to the 34th Psalm. Let me show you some things here about praising God. The 34th Psalm. This is a great Psalm here about praise. Psalm 34, and let's look here in verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. "And I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." What's he say here? We need to be boasting on the Lord all the time. Every moment, every day. Doesn't matter if you have a flat tire in the middle of a snowstorm. Praise God. Give him the praise all the time. Verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." See, when you are praising God, you're bringing joy and comfort to others around you. Because you're saying, "I know what they're going through, but look at them." And that brings comfort to them as well. Bring joy to their lives. Verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." We see here that we can do this in the name of Christ together to bring down the effects of what Satan is trying to put upon this on this world. In verse 4, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." Verse 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me, and saved him out of all his troubles." See, when we praise God, he delivers us from our fears. What do we got to fear about? When we're praising God? There's nothing to fear because God is mightier than Satan. We can praise Him for that. Verse 5, go back one verse. They looked unto Him and they were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. We see here with that, we can have comfort in that those who are afraid, they can look to us as an example. They don't have to be afraid. And there's another inroad to talk to them. And in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encompassed around about them that fear Him and deliver Him. Look at the protection that God promises. Angelic protection. Because we're praising God. We're praising God. Circle the problem that you have with praise. I don't know what you're going through. I have no idea. But I do know that God said, when there's strongholds, praise Him. Praise Him. There's a song that goes like this, part of the verses. Does sadness fill my mind? A solace here I find. May Jesus Christ be praised. Or fades my earthly bliss, my comfort still is this. May Jesus Christ be praised. The night becomes as day, when from the heart we say, may Jesus Christ be praised. The powers of darkness fear, when this sweet chant they hear, may Jesus Christ be praised. When you have those strongholds, pray, circle them with prayer, and secondly, encircle them with praise. Satan cannot stand it. He cannot take it. Praise God, no matter what you're going through. The third one, encircle the problem with faith. Encircle the problem with faith. Remember, the Israelites were told to walk around this massive walled city. Just walk. Okay? How are we going to take this city by just walking? But it's more than that. You're going to walk one time and then you're going to go back home, back to the camp. And the second day, you're going to walk around one time and then you're going to go back home to the camp. How are we going to take this city? They had to have faith. God said, you do this. You follow this plan. Go around the city for 6 days one time. And on the seventh day, you go around seven times and shout, the walls will come down. They had to have faith. Matter of fact, it's even mentioned in the faith chapter. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The people of Israel had to have faith that God said, you do this, the walls will come down. Well, we got to do the same thing in our lives. God is going to take care of the city of Berlin. I know He is. I have faith that He's going to have victories in Berlin. I know that. I can see work going on in Prague. Same kind of city. It took a little bit of time, but you know what? God's working there. Why can't He not work in Berlin the same way? And when we have our strongholds in our lives, have faith that God's going to take care of them. Don't try to take them on yourself because you're not going to succeed because Satan is stronger than you. Take those cities, those strongholds, by faith. God will take care of them. Do you remember, you're going to have times in your life, and we mentioned had some of that even in when we went to visit Berlin, where people are going to make fun of you because you're praising during a difficult situation. There's going to be some people who are going to make fun of you as well. Let's not kid ourselves. But you know what? When you're in God's will, when you're following the path that God has for you, God is not going to leave you by yourself. He's going to be there with you. Do you remember those three Hebrew children? Meshach and Abednego and Shadrach. You remember those guys? They were made fun of. But they stuck by the stuff. And they had faith that God was going to take care of them. And did God take care of them? Yes, they went into the fiery furnace. They didn't even smell a smoke. And God took care of them. And what's it say in Daniel chapter 3 and 28? They were promoted in the province of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar even said that their testimony forced him to recognize that God of Israel was the only God that can deliver them out of this sort. That's faith. That's what we need to have. You guys know Brother Kuzel. You've heard him speak. You have him on your prayer. You know he's witnessing to the king of Swaziland? The king of Swaziland. That took faith. Okay, we're in the Berlin capital, or the German capital, Berlin. The chancellor's there. Wouldn't it be wonderful that we can go witness to the chancellor of Germany? But we have faith that we will be able to do that. I don't know if you guys know the Hollands. They're missionaries to Papua New Guinea. They translated the King James Bible into pidgin language, which is the trade language in Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea government says that's going to be the Bible of our country. Faith conquers that. It just takes faith. So pray. Praise, faith, and then our last one for today is encompass the problem with perseverance. With perseverance. How many times did the children of Israel have to walk around those walled cities? They had to do that 6 times. One time a day, walked around it. And then the 7th time, they had to walk around it 7 times. That took perseverance. It didn't take 1 day. It didn't take 2 days. It didn't take 3 days. It took 7 days to do what God wanted them to do. When we have our strongholds, persevere. God wants you to keep to the plan. Don't deviate from it. Don't go off a little bit from it. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep plugging along. Keep praying. Keep praising. Keep having faith. But don't stop, or those walls won't come down. The plan is prayer, praise, faith, perseverance. That's the plan. Stay by it. In Galatians 6, chapter 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't faint. Don't go by the wayside. Don't quit and leave the path because of discouragement. You're going to have discouragement. It's not a bed of roses, like I said earlier today. But don't stop. Don't quit. And that word, shall reap. I told you I was an air traffic controller. And on our phraseology, one of the phraseologies was shall. When the pilot heard the word shall, there was no questioning. He didn't go, "Well, do you really want me to do this? Or do you really want me to do that?" No, when he heard the word shall, he said, "Yes, sir," and did it. There was no questioning. As soon as we said that word, they accomplished what we told them to do. Or there'll be problems. Well, this is what God is telling us. We shall reap. This is a positive, emphatic declaration. He says, if you do this, you will reap. It's a promise from God. But you have to persevere. You have to persevere. You have to keep giving. You have to keep going. You have to keep serving. You have to keep praying. Don't stop. There's a saying that we have in our school that we have on the walls, and I put on there, it's always too early to quit. Okay? It's always too early to quit. Don't quit. Persevere. Persevere. It says in Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Well, when are we going to reap? I don't know. God said, in due season, we will reap. I don't know what that season is, but it's not my place to question God when that season is. He tells me to keep going and not quitting. We're going to keep going and not quit. If we get to see a massive revival in Berlin, praise God. But if we're the ones that have to plant in the water and we leave and somebody else comes in, praise God. Because we know it's going to be accomplished. We have faith. But we have to persevere. Don't stop. It's your responsibility to keep going on. It's not your responsibility to question God when the harvest is going to come in. I don't know when the harvest is coming. But I do know there's going to be a harvest. But we have to keep going. So how do we take care of strongholds? You have strongholds in your lives. We have strongholds in our lives. Berlin is a stronghold. It is a very hard place to be. But we're going to plan the Joshua or the Jericho plan here. Prayer, praise, faith, perseverance. The walls came down in Jericho, and the wall is going to come down in Berlin. And the walls that you have in your strongholds are going to come down if you'll just follow that plan. Okay? Pastor. Yes,